He married. Ruthless. Okay. What do they call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. And last, what was the greatest female financier in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. Okay, so... huh? Who, Jeff? I just, I kind of look for the ones that aren't, because there are some that are a little bit questionable. I mean, I would say them, but I don't know what would happen here, you know? I mean, I usually laugh at anything, as long as it's not foul or malintent, you know? You know, we talk about church and we talk about a lot of different things. One of the things that I've been trying to look at lately is the Christian mind. How do we interpret what a Christian mindset is? I had the pleasure for a while back in 2015 to go to Regents University online, and I was in a class with Dr. Polk, and he was just, he was great at tearing things apart biblically in the right way, and I thought I'd bring some of that to you today. It's kind of hard to pick what I'm going to pick for one day for a couple of minutes, but, you know, I thought everybody might get something out of it. One of the things that him and I talked about, and it was basically from Billy Graham, was how do we talk to God? How do we sit down and talk to him? And this is all Billy Graham. It's pretty much prayer is simply talking to God. And the most important thing I can say about this is that God wants you to talk to him. Somehow we fear that. I don't know if we know how to approach him sometimes. I'm still trying to learn the thing that we need to be alone, for lack of a better word, in the closet where we're alone with the door closed. Anybody ever seen what was that called? War Room, the movie? Okay, and if you looked at that closet, you know, she had, it was amazing. And when the pastor came in at the end, he had realized he could feel the Holy Spirit in that room, you know. And I don't think we do enough of that. I'm not saying that we're bad. That's it. So please don't take it that way. What I'm looking to do is increase what we can do to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is possible because Jesus Christ has removed the barrier between us and God, a barrier that one time was our sins, but his Son paid the price for everything. He came down and removed that barrier. God then gives us the privilege of coming to his presence when we commit our lives to Christ. And that's important, because I don't believe that people that are not brought to Christ yet even really fully understand what it means. And it's going to take people like us and evangelism to go out there and let them see us. One of the few sayings I used to remember was, when people see you and they wonder how you are and why you're always so happy, it's because they're seeing in you how God lives in you. And that's important. That's an icebreaker sometimes with people. Okay. The Bible says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. That's from Hebrews 4:16. If you have never done so, ask Christ to come into your life today, and I believe we're there. And I also talk about aging. I hear a lot of that from older people that are, you know, in their years. And sometimes I think that even they look at things wrong. So two things I found here. One was from Henry Nguyen and Jay Gaffney. The hope of heaven and the promise of peace on earth are ingredients of aging well. I love this reminder. Aging is not a reason for despair, but a basis for hope. Not a slow decaying, but a gradual maturing. Not a fate to be undergone, but a chance to be embraced. I mean, sometimes it's hard to look at that because we have lots of aches and pains, you know, but wow. Think about how much you've learned over the years that you've been alive and how much you could share with people that don't even know that. Okay. Whether it's Christian or in life. John Calvin, the respected pastor and leader of the 1500s, had this to say, nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. We need to know where we are inside, internally, in respect to God, and how often we let him into our souls, and how often we let the Holy Spirit work with us, and how many times do we request prayer to him about making, before we make certain decisions. Not every decision, but we got to do that. The unforgettable truth for uncertain times, God sees everything you're going through. I mean, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Psalm 33:18. I think we tend to forget that more than anything. Is it true, would you say, that we go to God more when we're in trouble rather than when we're not? We seem to be more at ease when we're doing okay. You know, we don't really need to sit down and talk to him. Well, I got to tell you, I think that when we're not in trouble, that's the best time to sit down and talk to him, because now your mind is clear. All right? And I think this is the time to request the conversation with him. You don't need words. You don't need a lot of things. You just need to sit down, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into a conversation with the Father, and it'll happen. It doesn't take much. I think you'd be surprised. God cares about everything you're going through. But I will watch for the Lord. I will wait confidently for the God who will save me. My God will hear me. Micah 7:7. He's always listening. God is always with us. He has never walked away from us. I had a hard time for a while, and I'll get into some of that later on. It's not that easy. And what I'm saying is easy to read and easy to for me to write it or understand it, but it's not that easy sometimes to execute. God has the power to change what you're going through. My Lord, I don't know how many times we have a lot that we're facing, whether it's money, death, real estate, school, life, friends, being picked on, bullying, all that stuff. He knows what we need, and he will help us with prayer. He will help us down the darkest road, because no matter how you look at God, God is light. He is the true and brightest light you're ever going to see. Okay? God always acts out of his goodness to you. And we know that in all the things God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I love some of the things in Romans. Last night I was watching a baseball game, and I'm a Met fan, so don't throw stuff at me. I've been that one all my life. And they were playing the Pirates, and there was a catcher on the other team. And what was he headed out last night? I'm stumbling now. All that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was the verse was on his collar in baseball, and I have never seen that. And I was so happy, because you should never fail at expressing. That's going to kill me with that verse, because, and I'll explain why in a minute. It seems like in sports, politics, school, they've taken Christ and Christianity and pushed it to the side. You know, I see that in the South and Texas. They're allowing Bibles back in school. I think that is absolutely, I'm not saying that they have to convert the whole school, but if you don't have the information, how do you make a decision? You know, Romans 10:13, that's what it was. I'm sorry. So a little thing is, I don't know the normal call for an officer who's in trouble or been hurt in the rest of the world, but my father I grew up with him in New York, and in New York, they used to say it's a 10:13, which was a cop that was in need. And the reason they did that was because of what 10:13 meant. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And it was amazing. Never knew that growing up till I grew up and understood the Bible. I guess he should have explained it to me, but I'm not going to go there. You cannot lose your salvation. Everybody understand that? Because there are churches that preach against that. You cannot lose your salvation. There was a church in Delaware, and I'm not even going to come up with the name, that said that you can lose your salvation. And I don't even understand where that kind of philosophical approach would come. Once you're saved, you're saved, okay? You can't be pulled out of the shepherd's arms. Never. He may have to slap you around once in a while to get you back, you know, look for the lost sheep. But you know what? The 99, if you're lost, he's going to get you. He's not going to let you roll away, you know? Very important. So if you ever hear that, and I thought that was pretty weird to say you could lose your salvation. The Mennonites, and I have, not the Mennonites, the Amish, and I won't get too deep into it. We just watched a movie about the Reformation, of where they came from and how they wound up. And why the Mennonites are separate from the Amish is that the Amish took everything away and said everything has to be done by works. The works were already done. We've been given that gift. Not with them. And I guess to me, when I read that, it explained why they're always like worker ants all over the place, you know. I hope one day that they come to the understanding of what it really means. They seem to be a nice people, but they also seem to be a confused people. And we pray for everybody. I don't care what religion. My best friend is Jewish. I've known him now 57 years. And his father was a great cantor. He wrote temple music. And, of course, after his father passed away, he became very popular. But even he has curious ways of doing things. And I came over one day, and this guy's musically talented. He's the number one entertainer in Long Island, a piano player. And he used to come up, and he could sit down with a record and listen and write out the chords for you. He could just, it was just amazing what he did. And he used to write down my songs for me, because I was learning Christian back then, was Casting Crowns and Amy Grant. And then when I started out, and he would write it down so I could play it on guitar. And found out a couple years later, he was playing Christian music in a church on Sunday, you know. And it was kind of a funny way of how God plants seeds, or at least opens the door. He now celebrates Hanukkah and Christmas. So there's something going on. I think God is great. My worldview, in contrast with the biblical worldview, looking at it at my own view, my own worldview, it is easy for me to understand why it took me so long to comprehend the existence of God and how I needed him more than I knew. As a person growing up, I was aware of God and Jesus Christ, but never knew to what extent they played a role in my life. I listened to others speak freely about too much religion is no good, or that stuff is for those who have time. I did fall into the pit. But in my 50s, I felt that I needed to finally understand what the worldview was and is. I found my beginning in the Baptist church, and I saw the world through that view. This denomination, since I was it was through this denomination since I was a baby in the learning process. It was the first time I looked at something other than Lutheran and Catholicism. But it opened my eyes up. It's what I'm trying to tell you, I think, is God works in step by step by step by step. He may put you here today to learn something. He may put you there to learn something. He may put you here to learn something. But we can't walk away from what he's trying to do for us. I moved on to a non-denominational church from there and had a more biblical worldview, and I began to see things that woke me up inside and out. Now it was all about forgiveness and love. These two concepts have really brought everything into life, and I now see more of what God's will is. Funny that I started to teach, and I grew deeply into my faith and started to feel what a biblical view was. Then I went on the walk to Emmaus, which I spoke about a little bit last time, and that just brought God out. Now let me bring out the bad stuff. Devil got me, threw me backwards. I walked away from everything. Here I had this great start. I was in a relationship that I had never had with him before. And he got me. He did. I'm not going to go into what happened, but a lot of things could have changed my life a lot more to make it worse than it really was. I had people around me that loved me. And that love is what saved me. Of course, along with God sitting on my side trying to slap me in the head and push me in. I realized that he wasn't my co-pilot. I had to get my butt out of the chair and put him in charge. I'm the co-pilot. He's the leader. And it's tough sometimes. My wife, she embattled it all. Oof. Thank God she's still here. But I look every day now, you know, a day like today, the sun, the light, people. I'm happy that whatever happens, happened, because, bless you, for everything there is a change, you know. Well, we do. We open the door and then we step aside and, you know, I can't make it to church this week. You know, I stopped teaching. I started out as in a small group. Then I started my own. Then I was overseeing four or five of them. I had it made because I was learning so much about every little thing. I don't know what happened. It's the weakness of a human, the flesh. And, some never make that turn, and those people I pray for. I'm glad that God, you know, gave me an opportunity to make that turn. The only other thing I really had and I wanted to talk about was description of a worldview and a Christian worldview as the world is as we see it. Natural feeling to want to express the differences between both Christian worldview and biblical worldview. This is essential to understanding our journey with our Father and understanding the commitment we have as Christians to facilitate the Word with a true identity from within ourselves. As we look at differences in what we need to be doing as Christians, we need to reflect on what Christ wants from us through His Word. The world itself takes opinion and non-believers into consideration, trying to assemble answers and create stories that may, many times, angle an opinion in a different slant. This doctor in that particular church, college was, university was really good. Talked about dogmatics. Everybody know what dogmatics are? Dogmatics are when you take an untruth and you keep repeating it. And you keep repeating it, and you keep repeating it, and now it becomes a truth, even though it's not. But people look at it that way, as it is okay. And this is how Satan works. I always said Satan destroyed the family back in the late 60s. The mother was always home. The father was out doing his job. It was great. Kids had places to go. Everybody had a house, a car, maybe a TV. I'm not sure. 70s, I worked in the supermarkets. I think the devil's first big hit opened the stores on Sunday. That never should have happened. So it became okay because they said it was okay. It dogmatically got accepted the way it was. But now there's another day. And I'm going to tell you, when we opened up that day, it was the slowest day of the week. Within 3 years, it was the busiest day of the week because all of a sudden nobody had time for church. I got to get to the supermarket. I got to get to do this. And I'm not trying to put the supermarkets in a bad light because people go where they go. I mean, all the stores that are open now. But, you know, you got a bunch that don't open on Sunday, which is nice. Then all of a sudden, it became a problem with money. We went through a crisis economically. And all of a sudden, Mom and Dad both had to work. Okay, so was that okay? Well, if it was temporary, I could have seen it, but what it's done to our youth is tough. And I'm not putting anybody down if you both work. I'm just saying this is where it went. So all of a sudden, you got two people working. The kids are home sometimes, and I can tell you from being a school bus driver, they're home alone. Okay, so, I who's teaching them what's right from wrong? You know, and I know God's with every one of them, but somebody's got to stop. Take the horse by the reins and move along, you know. How do we do that? That's a great question. I am not sure. But I know that we have to go backwards to go forwards. And we have to go back to the family structure the way it was. God intended for a man and woman to be one unit together. It's not a 50-50 relationship. It's 150-150. So that means they have to invest in their children. If they're going to have children, they just can't walk away from them, although there's obstacles to that, you know. So far gone. Church, I mean, in the world, and church needs to come. Dualistic. In between, okay, because the beginning is great and it's great. So what happened in the middle? You know, I still tell you the basic instructions. That's what it stands for. And you're missing out if you don't read that book, because that book is alive. It's not a novel. It's not a Rick Warren book. It's not anything. It's amazing. When you sit down and read it, the spirit will grab you. And it will read those words to you. It's amazing. It really is. When looking at Christian worldview, we see that it is based wholly on the word of God and his creator and our principles that were given to us through prophets and apostles, which were the words of God without dispute. A God-centered life as a Christian is very well explained through the Bible, and there are certain items we believe, even though we may not be able to see them, since faith is a powerful and useful tool. Understanding what God has done out of his love for us and knowing what Jesus did on the cross for us allows us to assemble under one God with one set of rules, which lead us with a more spirit-filled journey. And I think if there was a line that I would use that we need to do today, that would be it. We need to get back to the fact there's only one way. There's no other way. I don't care what anybody else says. Other churches have their way of doing things. And I'm good for churches as long as they're preaching, as long as they're preaching with what the Bible says. A lot of different books out there, a lot of different places. I really like this small church because it's woken me up in some ways that I never thought would happen. And it's still working. It's an ongoing process. There's not a beginning and an end to Christianity. There's not a beginning and an end to God. God always loved you. You accept him eventually. That continues. It never stops. Okay? When you go home, you're done. It's great. This is what you live for. There should be no fear in any one of us whatsoever. Because if tomorrow came to an end, man, where are you going? Who are you going to see? You're going to see God. You can get all the questions answered that I'd love to ask him. You know, you're going to get that comfort. You're going to feel released. You're going to, this is what we are working towards, and we have to work towards it together. But we also have to become more vigilant in bringing people into the church. Every church will grow. It will, and we've seen a couple of them grow pretty big. And I think that as time rolls, we're all going to sit down and figure out how we can all chip in and figure out a way. I think we got to brainstorm it, and I think if we ask the Spirit and God to come with us and Jesus, I think he'll lead us into what we need to do. Everybody here really is so warm. You have the basics already. I mean, it's amazing. You know, you can walk in a church, not know anybody, and feel like you've been here before. That is an awesome way to build a base. Okay. The youth, the difference. You know how much knowledge we have sitting right here? How many things we've experienced through our lives, through Christ, emotions, whatever. We need to start sharing that with other people, because that's what they're going to want to know, is why do you always look so happy? Why do you always look relaxed? Our agenda is simple. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he rose and died and paid for our sins. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, He was going to send us somebody to help us along the way. Jesus never left us. He empowered the disciples, and he empowered people who follow him to have this spirit who will teach you, guide you, and keep you from straying. Although you will stray, I can tell you, you just got to be stronger than I was. There was a lot of religion at one time that sounded really good, and I don't know where it went, but I'll tell you what, standing here today, I am so glad that God is good. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. I'll leave you with those thoughts. It's sometimes a little bit harder to talk up here when you have limited time. I would love to have a small group in time and go do some stuff. There's a couple of books I brought to share. If you're looking for something, I brought the other one. Yeah, okay. I just got this one. I'm a very big fan of Rick Warren. I love what he does. He just came out with this. It's the Purpose-Driven Church. And I've always been a fan of his because one of the few people with a megachurch that stayed humble. He kept himself right. He doesn't really preach much anymore, but he's in over 60 countries trying to pull people into Christianity and to get saved by Jesus Christ. Okay. When I do small groups, I do work with some of his stuff because he allows us to dive deeply into our hearts because he knows how to ask the right questions. Another book you might like is by Adam Hogue, The Seven Most Powerful Prayers That Will Change Your Life. And they will. Adam Hogue, or H-O-U-G-E. Some of them were just amazing, the wording, because it makes you self-reflect. Nothing works if you don't self-reflect, because if you don't self-reflect, you don't find it in yourself. And when you find it, wow, that light gets even brighter. So, there's a lot of stuff out there that's great. So let me close with Heavenly Father, I come before you acknowledging that without you I can do nothing. Your word assures me that the Holy Spirit will teach me what to say, so I surrender my thoughts, words, and plans to you. Let every word that proceeds from my mouth be inspired by the Spirit. Remove confusion and replace it with divine clarity. Speak through me, Lord, and let your message reach every heart in this church, in this room, in this world. And I pray that in your Son's mighty name, Jesus, amen.